Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, romantasy author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Today is Monday, April 22nd. Full confession, this is still my first cup of coffee, but not my first sip. I've been sitting here drinking coffee, trying to plan my life. Do you all feel me? You all feel me, right? So much to do before I leave town tomorrow afternoon. I did get a lot done on Saturday. Got a lot of financial stuff caught up, dispersed royalties. So that was good. Late, but done. So that's good. That got done. Yesterday, I spent the day with friends and I got nothing accomplished. I shouldn't say that. Spending time with friends is like pinging my connectedness strength, right? It's good for me. It does nothing for the to-do list. So I'm having allergies like crazy. You could probably hear it in my voice. Did I say I wanted it to be spring? I know that I am on record here complaining that it's not spring yet. Well, spring arrived, like all of a sudden we got warm, although the wind has still been blowing. And so it was like it went woof with the pollen. And like I met my friend Kathy, who writes as Katie Lane. She writes cowboy romances. I met her yesterday morning at the spa, and I had a body polish. Got my skin nice and soft, so that's nice. But even the gal at the spa was, you know, like giving me the preliminary tour. And she said, in the steam room, we have a bottle of eucalyptus spray, and that's great for sinuses. And I was like, oh, my God, my sinuses need it. And she said, yes, everybody is like this. We put it in there because everybody is like, oh, my sinuses. Springtime in the desert is a real thing. It's like we go from 0 to 60, right? So yeah, I have a lot to do the next couple of days. Just all kinds of things. Prep to go and various things. Also, and I know I mentioned this on Friday, you know, like having my sister and brother-in-law come and stay while I have gone. It's great, but it also, I feel a certain amount of onus to get things fixed up for them. So I've kind of made an executive decision. It's funny, I call it an executive decision because I am the executive. I am the only decision maker around here. But I am not going to try to get much written on the book today or tomorrow. I may not even try while I'm at a PolyCon. We'll see. I do have a couple of free mornings, so I could maybe get back into the writing routine. I might try to do that. But I fly out very early Wednesday morning, and at this point, writing on the plane sounds like a lot. I'm just going to play it by ear. But anyway, I've decided to take writing off the table for the next 2 days because I have several things that I have to get done. Several, she says. Lots. You may have noticed that the cover reveal for Reluctant Wizard hasn't happened yet today. Those of you watching on video did get to see my little highlight on the phone. One of the things I was supposed to do this weekend, or maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, was to get the BCC, the back cover copy, written for Reluctant Wizard, which I have not yet done. And set up the pre-order links, which I have not yet done. And those things have to happen if I'm going to do a cover reveal. So I asked Corrine, assistant, to put this off a day. And we're going to do cover reveal tomorrow. And I'm going to get those things done today. I didn't get my blog post written for SFF7 yesterday. So I'm going to get that done today. And a bunch of other things. So many things. But I have a schedule. I have a plan. That's what I was doing, sitting here paging through. I made a schedule for today to follow to try to get some of these things done. I've been accused, and for the first time it was in graduate school. Some of you know when I was getting my PhD in neuroscience, or attempting to, ended up with a master's, cut bait and left. But I had a big blackboard over my, or green board, I don't know, what do we call them anymore? You know what I'm talking about, the thing that you write on with chalk, over my desk in the lab. And I had drawn a big calendar and with all of my classes and the classes I was teaching and the things I needed to get done and gotten it all organized. And this one professor who, looking back on it, was quite the harasser, but he came by and was looking at it and he said, "Well, that looks like displacement activity to me." And you all know, as a mentor, I am often advising people to beware of displacement activity. Displacement activity is a thing, particularly if you are doing something like lots and lots of world building instead of actually writing the book. And why is my elbow bruised? Don't you love it when you discover, like, oh, this spot is sore? Complete non sequitur there. Apologies. So yeah, there can be displacement activity. But I think I have a cat who needs in. Hold on. Killian did want in, and now he's visiting on screen. If you were on video, you could see his big tufty ears as I am taking his collar and harness off of him. He has to wear those to go outside. There we go. Don't step on the keyboard. Yeah, what a good boy you are. Yeah, he is a good kitty. Ah, he's my little lion boy. So, sorry, I got completely distracted there. Oh, displacement activity. Distraction is not the same. Displacement activity is when you need to be putting your energy into one thing and you decide to instead put it into something else that is not the thing and not productive. There you got a nice shot of Killian's fluffy butt. Happy Monday. Happy fluffy butt Monday. I think that reorganizing the to-do list, I've talked about that a few times throughout the last year or two. A friend of mine told me that she had read, like someone who was good at organizational stuff, saying that you should never move things down on your to-do list, that you should try to set up your to-do list so that you can get everything done on that day. And I'm trying to keep this tail out. And that you instead have an ongoing list of things to draw from, like if you have extra time, like whoever has extra time. Now I have cat hair in my face. And I don't think that that works for me. I tried doing that, and instead my ongoing list became kind of the abyss of things that I stopped thinking about. Sorry, this cat has just decided that, I think because I was gone all day yesterday, he's decided that I need to be paying attention to him today. As one of you faithful listeners said to me once, that one thing you had learned from my podcast, which I kind of love, is that sometimes cats happen. And here we are with cats happening. And paying attention to your cat is important, right? Yeah. Pinging that connectedness button. So it's a push-pull for me on yesterday. That it was a very full day of spending time with people. It was relaxing. It was stimulating. It was good for me to have these connections with people. And I have to remember that that's just as important as getting things off of the to-do list, right? But the to-do list is eternal in a way. So anyway, I do think that organizing the list is helpful to me. I know it takes time. It takes energy to do it. If I'm constantly doing it, I can see that it's a problem, but I think that it helps me to make a schedule. It helps me to prioritize which things have to get done today, and in what order. And I plan my errands so that I'm going on my errands in the most efficient order and kind of know my time schedule for doing those things. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. And with that is the plus side of pushing the book off to release day of June 30th is that now I do have lots of time, though I need to not squander that time. And yeah, I was thinking I was going to tell you all something. You know, after spa yesterday, my friend Katie Elaine and I had lunch and talked about writing and marketing and all of those things. And so a couple of incidental things. She was talking about that she can't get a BookBub featured deal to save her life. She keeps trying, but she's been trying with First in Series that she has perma-free. And so, you know, this is like the deep dive into industry stuff. But I advised her to try it with books that have not been previously discounted. I think we have a much better chance of getting a BookBub for like a special sale, a special discount, or a special going to free. So, that's one data point. She was also talking a bit about an author who spends a lot of time creating merchandise and gifts for their readers. And we were discussing, you know, there's again, this is a time factor, right? You know, how much time do you spend on things like marketing versus actually writing? And you know that my advice is always to spend that time writing. That's the most important piece. You know, she said that she has that this author has lots of readers who love getting this stuff. But I don't know. I go back and forth on that. You know, it's like, yes, people love getting free stuff and it's great to have lots of followers. And so that's validating. But are people there to read your books? She said something else interesting that she's got a different model for working now, a different model than I do. And, you know, I'm very big on my mantra, figure out what your process is and own it. But it's always interesting to hear what other people are doing. And I mean, find out what other people are doing and consider it, weigh it. But don't feel like you have to do it because there is, of course, no one true way, right? But she has been spending a lot of time with grandchildren and children, adult children. And so when she sees them, she doesn't try to write at all. I know she used to, and it's just too frustrating. It's really hard when you're around other people and they have want things from you, right? Now I hear cats out in the other room, but we'll let them be. Cats can happen on their own sometimes. So yeah, she will like not work for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and then when she's home, she says she writes all the time. She writes nonstop, and she writes shorter books than I do. Her books, she said, are about 56,000 words. So one of her books, or one of my books, is two of hers. But you know, she still had like 6 releases last year. So you know, she's really good about getting books out regularly. She also does the thing where she writes a book, you know, and she puts it through her copy edit. She has her whole system of editors and so forth. And she hangs on to the first book, usually the first two, sometimes the first three, and releases them together. And she thinks that makes a big difference for her. Of course, we've all been talking about rapid release for a long time, but it's a debate, right? You know, when that first book is ready to go, you could put it out there and it could be earning money, but is it better to hang on to it, release that book, then book two, possibly book three, and get bumped up in the algorithm for a longer tail? Again, as always, the main takeaway here is that there is no one true path, right? There is no magic formula, no surefire thing. I think you have to find out what works for your audience. And she has found that this is what works for her audience. For me, I've ended up with such, at least lately, long times between releases that it wouldn't make sense to do that. But I do kind of dream of going back to that someday. I don't know. I go back and forth, obviously. But anyway, I think that her method of taking full time off, and she says she doesn't try to do anything during that time with family, during those 2 to 3 weeks. And part of why she's prioritizing is the grandchildren are, as she puts it, at the age where they still want to be around her. They still really love being around her, and she knows that that will change. In fact, some of the grandkids are old enough that that's already happened. So when she is doing the family thing, she doesn't even try to market. It's 100% of her attention. And I could see that, because I talk about on here a lot, that sustainable productivity, right? Which is a combination of work and rest. It's finding that rate at which you can sustainably produce words without burning out, without crashing, but also needing that rest, needing that time to aggressively refill the well. And for those of you new to that term, I've been talking about that well refilling is something that we think of that's kind of passive, like if you just sort of allow it to happen, which I think if you're really working hard to create, especially if you have a lot of stress in your life, if you have a lot of things going on in your life, a lot of demands, then you need to, it's not enough just to allow the groundwater to seep in and fill the well. You need to do this aggressively. You need to go out and fill buckets and bring them back to the well and fill up the well with it. And figuring out what refills your particular well is really important. So yeah, I'm just going to try to get all these business things done. Business and family and financial and all the things. I probably will not podcast on Friday. I always intend to. I always threaten to do it from the conference, but then I don't. But if you are at a PolyCon, please come by and say hello. Would love to meet you. Tell me you listen to the podcast. And of course, I would say come anyway, even if you don't listen to the podcast, but I'm not talking to those people, am I? So yeah. I will for sure talk to you all next Monday. You all take care. Bye bye.